Thank you very much. You may be seated. That was an excellent hymn, Laura. Congratulations. Very good. Does it go with the, I knew the tune a little bit. Does it go with the same as another tune? Do you? I'm not sure. Okay. Great hymn. And did I mention to you I'm going to mention Mary and Martha today? I'm not sure I did. Did I mention to you that I'm going to mention Mary and Martha today? Sitting at the feet of Jesus? Boy, Laura and I are in tune. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. We do like having a little fun and laughing at one another and commending one another and all that stuff. You think the Holy Spirit's in charge of my life and Laura's life? We're connecting here. Well, talking about connecting, this is what I've been thinking about over this week. One of the struggles or the sensitivities that I feel is so important if you're going to be a pastor, and a lot of things, you could be a CEO and a number of other things, is the issue that we can become so preoccupied with what we need to deal with. Like, I'm always thinking Sunday is coming and there's certain things I need to do in the community and so on. The sensitivity that I wrestle with is that I may think about theology or the Bible or Bible study so much, or I may be thinking about caring for others so much, or always gravitating sort of to talking about the spiritual side of things, that the danger would be, in terms of my relationship with my sheep, I could be so heavenly minded that I would be no earthly good. And that is a sensitivity I think I've wrestled with for years. And not wanting to be like that. Wanting to connect with those under my care in such a way that I know I can't live your life for you, and I know that I don't know exactly everything that you go through at the workplace and the kind of people you deal with and the type of decisions you have, and I don't know how to walk through all the health issues that you may face or the decisions before you, but I try at least not to be disconnected from that. I think Jesus was a good example. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about, I know my sheep, and I call them by name. You know, this is a great thing when someone knows your name in our church family. And for us, I mean, a lot of us have been together for so long, it just comes naturally. And if you come in new here, we want to know your name because you're a person. And you're important to us. Now, I was thinking this past week when we, Owen and I, were in Hamilton before we came here. I was one of four pastors in a huge downtown city church of 525 people on a Sunday morning. And when we were there for 7 years, one of the things that we made a priority was that of the four of us who were full-time staff on the pastoral side of things, we sought to know everybody by name, and we did very well at it. And then you get to know the connections and who's related to who, and then you know who to gossip about and how it gets around. And in a small town, it works somewhat the same. You know what word to say if you want something to get around, and it takes maybe a couple of weeks, but it comes in very handy sometimes. When we have relationships and we're connected to one another. And so Jesus knew his sheep. He called them by name. I think the shepherd of sheep ought to be able to do that. And so I've worked fairly hard at it. But the bottom line is, I don't go to work with you every day. And I don't face the people that you do. I have my own set of people that I face. Now, I'm not talking about you, of course, but I have my own circumstances. But what I've been thinking about is that as I begin each day, and I think that you know me enough by now, that when I look at the day before me, and when you look at the day before you, because it involves walking with the God who exists, who loves us and who cares for us, there's the adventuresome face as I start my day. And so in reality, I want to talk about that today, because even though I don't work with you, I don't live with you, and so on, I believe that every person who claims to be a Christ follower ought to have this very same approach to the day when it begins. We're so different. We're not the same in 100 million things. But these things we need to be in unity in for our blessing and enrichment. So I'm just going to share from my heart today what I face as each day begins. And I am not tuned out to the fact that some may wake up this morning not feeling well, and that puts a twist on everything through the day. And we got bad news, or, you know, this is coming down the pike, whatever. I'm very aware that all of us, and that's the key thing, all of us have our individual challenges and individual emotions and feelings, or the things before us that can shape how I look at today. I'm going to share how I believe Christ wants us to look at the day. And maybe this will be an encouragement as well as a reminder of exactly what we just sang about sitting at the feet of Jesus. So here we go. For me, one issue that is absolutely necessary is what I see. What I see. And our hymns shared that so vividly, particularly our last one, Laura. It's what I see. It's my perspective on life. My world view. How do I look at the world around me? And I know you can go downhill and go negative on a whole lot of stuff, but that's not where I live. I understand we live in a broken world. But as one who knows the Lord Jesus personally, what I see is this. I am a Christ follower. Jesus is the one who pursued me and made me aware that he is the only Savior from my sin. And God so loved Bill Terrace that he gave his one and only Son, that if Bill Terrace will believe in him, he will not perish. He will have eternal life. That is my perspective. And it's like coming to many of the funeral times that we have here in town. I will raise the issue. There is a death bully. And if we only know a source that is bigger than that bully, I enter assurance, hope. I enter a mindset, a peace. And the reality is that when we know Jesus personally, even in the realm of physical death that gives us a tremendous sense of loss and that hurts us deeply because we have loved someone and we've had that privilege, the reality is if we know Jesus, eternal life overrides physical death always. So that's the reason why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we sorrow, yes we do, but not as those who have no hope. When we know Jesus, we have the ability to wake up in the morning and to, as a Christ follower, say, I know who he is. In my relationship with him, I know who I am. In reality, when you really break it down, what I am saying is this. I believe history, but particularly, I believe his story as revealed by God to us in the documents of historical record. I believe. And when I wake up in the morning, said or unsaid, I affirm, I believe. that the God who exists so loved me, he provided a Savior, and I have taken that Savior. And as such, I am a person who sees very clearly that Christ died for my sin, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he was seen. He's alive today. And I understand that when we place our faith in him and receive him as Savior, we are given, as the Bible promises, eternal life, a relationship with God. I am declared righteous in his sight, and on planet Earth, I'm focused on becoming more righteous, more like Jesus as I live. But legally, in the court of heaven, I have been justified by faith. I've been declared righteous by faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. I have an inheritance, and I am secure. As it says in verse 3 here in Colossians, we are those that have Christ is our life. He's everything. He is the one who gives us eternal life, and he's the one that I grow to love, and he's the life that I live for, and that shapes my perspective as I start the day. And I'm saying this, saying that I'm not always emotionally at a 10. I may wake up in the morning, and it may take a while. But these are the things that ground me and ground my perspective. And God wants these things to ground our perspective. If we know Jesus, I see. And my perspective is shaped by history, his story, and all that he means to me, and the relationship that I have with him. The point would be that Jesus is Lord. He is at the right hand of God. I see this. I see that he will appear, and he will receive believers to himself. And I see that he today wants to even reign in my heart. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And he wants to be my king right today in my heart, in my mind. And so the point would be, I will be with him. That's what it says here in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's this identity that I have because I receive Jesus. All the benefits that Jesus has gained for me by dying on the cross, being my substitute because I should have died, all these things, they are mine through a relationship with a person called Jesus. And so when I wake up in the morning, said or unsaid, maybe it's a cup of coffee or two, but my perspective is set. I see. I know who I am because of Jesus. And this becomes the foundation for everything. And yes, I can't identify with the uniquenesses of your life or of your workplace. I am not you. But at the same time, I am able to approach every single day affirming that I know Jesus. I believe him. I was thinking of that old hymn. Maybe we should have sung it this morning. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I see. And you see too. We know these things. But often there is a need in our lives to take the things that we've known so long and affirm them. Affirm them again. Remember when we did Deuteronomy? Just before they were going to go into the promised land, this brand new generation needed a second time to hear from Moses the law of God. Why? Lest they forget. Lest they forget. And so often in our own lives, we get tripped up. Satan gets us discouraged. We take on a negative view of life. We grumble, complain. Why? Because we forget the things that God wants us to see when we wake up in the morning. And if we know Jesus, we can affirm these things. That's why we open the service. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. And so on. I stand in the position of being in a relationship with Jesus, which means, from Romans 8, I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Or is it 1 Corinthians 15? I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am a person who, in many respects, lives above what the world has to offer. And my perspective is set by that because of my relationship with the Lord Jesus. When I begin my day, my adventuresome faith in God begins because of what I see. But then there's another issue. I know where I am. And while we talk about seeing being having to do with perspective, where I am, I don't mean in Blenheim. And I don't mean like in church this morning. Where I am for me speaks of posture. Like where I am in my mind and my heart. My posture before God. And that's why here in these verses in Colossians 3, 1 to 3, he says, you know, if you know Christ, if you've been risen from the dead with Him, if you have eternal life because of faith in Jesus, if you know where you're going and you have an inheritance to look forward to, now while you live on planet Earth, set your hearts. Set your minds, that's what he says here, on things above. And you know that I am a person who wants to be totally down to earth. And so, yes, I have to look after a house like the rest of you. And I have to, you know, make sure that there's wood in the wood pile. And I have my own interests. And I have a job to go to apart from my church job. And all those things that are about planet Earth. But those are not the things that occupy my mindset and control my life. I set my mind and my heart on things above. I am left here like you on planet Earth for the purpose of representing Jesus well and fulfilling His mission. And so, yes, I have to do all the things that you do in my realm, even as you do in yours. But the mindset and the posture that I take in doing that needs to respond to the sense of God's call upon my life. I am here for a purpose. I am here with a mission. And that mission can be experienced at the workbench, at the senior center. It can be experienced while driving a truck, while cooking a meal, maintaining our homes, or whatever else we do. This is the point that I'm seeking to get to. That there is a mindset and there's a sense of purpose that God has shared with us so that we live above the mundane. And we have routines. We have structures. Sometimes those are so good. Sometimes they get real boring too. And we need to live above those things. And so the posture that I believe is so important is that I am in a place where I set my mind and heart on things above. I focus on who Jesus is. The fact that Jesus right now is in heaven praying for me. And my call from God is that I need to be like Jesus in how I live. I need to serve Jesus. And in order to do that, I need to be found in a place where I am totally surrendered to Him. I have given my heart to Jesus. I am open to what He has to say to me today. And I'm open to His guidance and His direction. And you may think, well, is this just like where is the church going in the future? That isn't necessarily what I'm talking about. It's the issue that as I stand at my workbench, as I'm at the senior center, And the person next to me really irritates me. Anybody like that? Okay. Or maybe it's your spouse. I'm sorry. I didn't want to get too personal. But as that happens, right there, I have a choice. Will I follow Jesus in my response? Or will I do what I think needs to be done here, even without Jesus? And that choice is what I need to sort out my surrender to. My way or God's way. And so the way in which I do my work, how I get along with people at work, the way in which I respond when people don't think of me quite the way that they should and they treat me wrong, the decisions about how I'm to act and what I'm to think about and not think about, all those things come under an umbrella that involves posture. It's like, who am I surrendered to today? The hymn that we just sang, taken from Luke chapter 10, where Mary and Martha, two sisters, preparing for Jesus coming to have a visit with them. Lots of things to do in hospitality. And so Jesus arrives and Martha is so focused on making sure every detail's in place. Let me point this out. The scripture there doesn't say that Mary wasn't equally as devoted to having every detail in place. But when Jesus walked in the door, now things have changed for Mary. There will always be things to prepare to be ready. But Jesus is here now, and it's Him that I need to listen to. And so in Luke 10, it says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Now that was posture, but the real posture was this. Listening to the things that He said. And so in her mind and in her heart, with Jesus, it's good to sit with Jesus and to have a planned time to sit with Jesus, to stop all the preparing, to shut down the list, and to take time to sit with Jesus, listening to His words. As she did that, now Martha got really upset. And it took Jesus to say, Martha, you are troubled. You are anxious about many things. In other words, Martha, not that those things are bad, but you need to park it. And that's what Mary did. She parked herself right at the feet of Jesus, listening, surrendered, focused on things above, in her mind, her ears tuned, her heart waiting. The scripture that we opened with today, you waken me morning by morning. You open my ears to listen like one being taught. And I have not been rebellious. I can see all the right things that Jesus has for me. And in that perspective of understanding what it means to know Jesus and my eternal life is secure, all those things bring us to a place where every single day I need to find my posture at the feet of Jesus. Where I am called a disciple. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a learner. I'm listening. I'm learning. I'm growing to love. I see how much sense it makes to do the things that we read here from Ken and not to do the things starting in verse 5. God doesn't want me to get hurt. God wants to lead me on in blessing. But if I am not surrendered and sitting and listening with the intention, I want to obey, I will compromise, and therefore I will get hurt. So the posture, where I find myself as I begin a day, and where we need to find ourselves at the beginning of every day, is we may know a whole lot of what the Bible says is the inheritance and is the treasury, is the anticipation, the hope of every Christian. But God wants me to say, okay, if He loved me that much, I give my total life to Him. I take the posture of being at the feet of Jesus, surrendered. And that's where God wants us to be. Bowed, listening, responding, open to His words. Like Jesus, boy, I'd love to do that to that person. Not my will, but yours be done. That's what He said to His Heavenly Father before they put Him on a cross. Not my will. So that's the posture that we need to have. It's physical, but it's the heart. It's the heart. And then I find myself just in one more place. And that would be that I'm a person who needs to, to have a walk with God. That's my spiritual practice. And all I can really say about that, to a point, we've talked about this in Deuteronomy a lot, is that it's one obedient step at a time. In verse 5 through the 14 and even beyond that we read, you could take any one of those things, don't go there, or go there. Take any one of them. And it's a place to begin. And if I want my life to indeed have a sense of adventure as I'm walking with God, in those areas, I take one obedient step at a time. And I'm giving attention to the do's and the don'ts. I know that if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't live by the truth. But I also know if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we do have fellowship with one another. This is what living by faith is all about. That's why I called it Facing Today, Adventuresome Faith. Because really what I'm affirming, by seeing the right things, by being in the right place, and by taking the right practice, I affirm this. I believe God. And that's what faith is. I believe what He said. I believe that when He leads me in a certain direction, that is the best direction for me to go. And at any act of disobedience, which is intentional, I have essentially concluded, God can't be trusted. I do not believe that what He said to me is the best for my life. It's almost like we find ourselves in spiritual adolescence, where I'm testing everything because I'm not sure I believe what mom and dad have said is for my betterment. And that can carry over to our spiritual life. I'm not sure if what God has said, surely God doesn't know what I have to put up with at work. Surely God doesn't understand everything that I've been deprived of and how hard my life is. Surely God, I don't believe that You're really connected. This is what we talked about at the beginning. God, I don't believe that You're really connected with my life, or You're really connected with life on planet Earth, and You truly can't be trusted. And that just means I'm going to go off and disobey Him. I'm going to do what I want. unfortunately, that's where we get in trouble. So adventuresome faith means I have faith in God that He will bless me and He will bless others through me, around me, and in spite of me as I walk with Him. That's what I want to happen every single day. I want to be a person being alive with Christ spiritually. I am fully alive on the inside, and as I begin my day, when people come into contact with me, I want them to see God in me, through me, around. I want them to be blessed, because I will not hide my light under a bushel. I will let it shine, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, so that I make the teaching about God, my Savior, attractive by how I live. So I've just shared with you my perspective when I start every single day. And it doesn't mean I always feel like it. This type of thing isn't about feelings. This is about choice. It's about knowing Jesus and seeing properly. And because I see properly, I am a person who in my posture is at the feet of Jesus. But I am determined that I will take one obedient step at a time. And of course, when we do that, you know what happens? I'm blessed. I can affirm God is believable. God is true. Hey, I need to do this tomorrow. And I commit my life to walking with Jesus. May this just help us, something that we're unified in together as we begin each new day. Now, we need to sing our last hymn, which again affirms this. It's 313 if you're using the hymnal, but on the overhead, on the PowerPoint, stepping in the light. That's what God wants us to do and to be blessed as we do it. Let's stand together as we sing. So we mentioned some of the literature that's out in the foyer for you, including the Hawkins Prayer Letter, and we hope that you'll stay and have fellowship with us there. Let's pray. Our Father, in all of this, we need your help. Satan will do everything he can to distract us and to get us preoccupied with our own agendas and our own life. So we need your help to remind us that every single day we need to take one obedient step at a time, and we need to discover the joy of walking with God and to enjoy fellowship with him. We thank you that Jesus hated wickedness, but he loved righteousness, and therefore Hebrews tells us that he was anointed with the oil of joy. This coming week, may we know that joy. May we be able to affirm this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Make this our experience, Lord. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.